Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
You know, while you're standing, I'm going to pray for all of us in a minute, especially for our megaphone friends, because that's what you do. But I got to tell you, I made a comment. Wouldn't it be awesome to wake up and just put this worship team on Pandora in the morning? I was like, man, you guys just need to come home with us. And then Pastor Andrew over worship goes, we are on Pandora. So you can go on Pandora and put C3 back to life and get this 24/7 piped into your life. Because how many need a little worship in the morning? Come on. You guys are amazing. Are any of you single? You can have an angel in your ear all up until curfew. But you guys are amazing. Hey, I'm going to pray for us, mostly myself like I do every time. But God, I thank you this morning. God, I thank you for this church. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're invited to move here. This is your house. So God, I ask that you do that today. Move on our hearts. Move on our minds, move on our spirits. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you invade this place. We want to see the miraculous. We want to feel your presence. We want to walk out of here with a fresh revelation today. We thank you, Lord, that you'll take these words spoken and pierce our own hearts, God. Stretch us where we need to be stretched. Seed us where we need to be seeded. Let us reap a harvest to make your name famous. We give you all the honor and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. You guys can take a seat. I'm happy for the rest of you married people up in here. Come on. Make babies and multiply. Build the church, would you? Come on, I want to give a great example of people that are committed to building the church. The Lowe's just had this little beautiful baby. Look how good you look. Dude, I can't believe it. 2 hours ago, you guys are committed. That is serious. No, but welcome back, serious. How awesome is that? Committed. Make sure you get that little one a cup. Probably not coffee. Come on. I'm telling you, what a day. It is so good to be back. I'm telling you, I got to go down to Australia. Got to go to the Global Conference a few days before the President's Conference. That means all the C3 churches, usually the area leaders, and then Pastor John and Becky and myself got to tag along, and it was really about coming back and talking about what is C3 and really getting this, everybody that's in charge of everything that has to do with C3 on the same page. And the three things that Pastor Phil said that I thought were incredible to be a part of, he goes, there's three things that I care about for all you director leaders, because as it flows from the top down, these are the three things that matter. C3 is a Holy Spirit church, in parentheses, not weird. Holy Spirit, not weird, number one. Number two, equipping the saints. That means we're equipping you to lead, be lights of the world, to lead, and that's kind of where my message is going to tie it in today. You're going to get equipped if you attend this church. And number three is soul winning. We don't do church, so we all just feel good about ourselves. If we're not inviting people, bringing the lost in, bringing the megaphone haters in, then we're not doing what we're called to do, and that's win souls. And what does that mean? Well, hopefully by the end you'll know. But this is why we do church, and we can't get so Christianese, we forget where we came from. You know, I think it's a great a reminder. I heard last week you got flipped off in church. Wow. Wow. I leave for 1 week. Unbelievable. Hope you guys took communion, but that's taken. I said have fun in church to a whole nother level. My wife stayed back, so it's good to be back. Cute. I got to preach in these other churches. I'm glad to be back. I missed you. I brought my wife a gift back from Australia. I told the earlier service I brought my kids back something, and I gave myself a little gift. I just didn't want it to be around my waist, but unfortunately it is. But it's a joke, people, okay? I gained a little weight, and I'm just being transparent. This is accountability. I want to show you what accountability looks like. So I was hoping Tom was here today so he could challenge me, but I just need to play a lot of ping pong. You know, I don't want to get so fat that you guys have a hard time lifting up your pastor in prayer. I know I'm back. A little culture shock for you new people. It's okay. I can't stand up here and not have fun. I'd be a hypocrite. Analysis paralysis. That what could happen. So, a couple things. One, that was our alliance down here bouncing. Saw some people go like, what are all those young people doing? That's called passionately worshiping our Savior. And then we put them in a rubber room for the rest of the service. Just to protect them. But I'm telling you, it's one thing to be around passionate people. It's another thing to be around a passionate church. I love Pastor Jurgen. There was probably about 20 of us that went down to the Presence Conference, and we heard from Pastor Irwin McManus, and who did we hear? Pastor John Gray. Who else? Jensen Franklin? Oh, my gosh, the guy that wrote the book on fasting? That guy preached like a boss. But you know what? They love C3 San Diego the best because we were up shouting them down. These preachers are like, man, who are those people? We're like, yep, we're from San Diego. We walk and carry the presence of God wherever we go. So, what's up? Here we go. Calm down. I need them right now. The more weight I put on, the more fuzzy they get. So I'm going to go on this keto diet. We're going to be fine, people. I feel like this is counseling for me. I'm just walking through my own Australia problem. I can't believe it. They're like, everything they say is a flat white. I was drinking like 7 flat whites a day. You know how many calories? I had no idea. Finally, I'm walking around totally strung out and gaining weight. I forgot to eat for an entire week, but I still gained weight. Okay. I promise I'm preaching today. It gets way heavier, so I'm just trying to lighten it. The good news is I did a lot of reading while I was down there. I got caught up on a ton of books, and I was doing some studying. And some of the stuff I want to tell you, one, I always like to mix scripture with science. Kind of my nerd background is the science part of it. And I was having this revelation finishing this book by Dr. Amen. I like to just say Dr. Amen because we're in church. But he studies the brain, and what he was talking about was people got to quit blaming genetics and DNA for their brain problems. It's caused by the environment you're in and what you're doing to yourself. Was it something I said, Pastor Jesse? And I just started going. And my main pastor walks out. Lord, I'm praying he comes back. Let's just believe that Pastor Jesse is unoffendable. Okay, so about your brain. Your brain is involved in everything you do. So I read this book. I crushed it. I'm giving you the cliff notes. I have to help you because your brain matters, okay? Everything we do today matters because we're setting up ourselves for success. We're called to be the light of the world, not you're supposed to be the darkest depression person of the world. And when I, like Pastor Mike was saying, just the whole, that guy on the megaphone, that's not the light of the world. Man, I want us to be one flavor Christians that move in power, the light of the world, that actually when you talk to people, they're like, I want some of what she's got. I want some of what he's got. So if I had to tell you what's this message about, it's so you know how to get that got to be the light of the world. Because if it was all about getting saved, you know we'd get saved and go straight to heaven. That's not what it's about. It's about getting saved and then working it out as we do this thing called life. And it says we're supposed to go on the upward call, mean progressively, day by day, we're going to be the light of the world. It's not like you get saved suddenly like you're the light bulb, but turned on. It could be like a dimmer switch. We're going full brightness. And so the whole impact is that we can live the Christian life in success and be prosperous in all that we do. Be strong and courageous, but be successful and live the prosperous life. Don't let that word offend you. It only offends people that aren't prosperous. Do you know that? I've never met somebody prospering going, I was so offended when you said that word prosperous. It's only the people that go, I can't believe you talked about prosperity in church. All right, let's just talk about how broke are we? In debt? Are we deep down here? But the good news is this word right here can give you all the strategies to get you out of debt, out of brokenness, getting into wholeness, so you can talk about being the light of the world. I promise I'll get there, but let me tell you about your brain real quick. The brain is the most complex organ in the universe. It has 100 billion neurons, trillions of connections to other cells. The human brain can process information as fast as 268 miles an hour. I did get pulled over yesterday, by the way. And I hashtagged a little FOG so my wife wouldn't yell at me, and I got out of that ticket. And then the guy said, have a blessed day. Highly favored, thank you very much. And you know what he said? He goes, because I said, oh, I know why you pulled me over. And he goes, yeah, your tent's too dark. Oh, I thought it was for speeding. And he goes, well, I wasn't going to mention that. You were doing 80. Oh. But, you know, honestly, from across the highway, the tent looked darker than it really is. Have a great day. Babe, we're going to church, baby. Speaking of that, you're such an amazing volunteer. Where's your husband? Oh, you know what? Find Corey. He's a volunteer, too. Maybe you can coach him. He'll get volunteer of the month, too. But you're amazing. He needs to reward you later. Taking you out to dinner. Shopping. There's 100,000 miles of blood vessels in the brain. We have 70,000 thoughts a day. 93% of those thoughts were the same as yesterday, unless you're making changes in your life. So if you don't like where you're at, trying to change locations, 50% are in words and 50% images, what you think about, you bring about. So start changing the images in front of you. That's why a vision board's important. You say a vision board in church? Yeah. We need vision in this house. I have a picture of Descanso up. Okay. 16 building. Let's just think big for this church. Come on, for your life. We need and use all our brain. The myth that we use 10% of our brain is a total lie. Although we don't use every single neuron at the exact moment, we do use 90% of our brain. When the brain is healthy, you have more brain reserve. So I'm going to all these things. Listen to this. It weighs about 3 pounds. It's the texture of Jell-O or egg whites. Doesn't make you want to eat egg whites, but its composition is 80% water. The brain is estimated to be about 60% fat. So don't go on a non-fat diet. You'll get less smart. But here's a picture of what a healthy, this is a SPECT scan. Look at this. This is a healthy, if we have that one. Look at this healthy brain. That's what it should look like. This is a brain that's working the way it's supposed to. Now the image is an unhealthy brain. These holes are what erode and eat away. They say this is what negative thinking creates. Yeah. This is where being around a negative environment creates. Food does matter, but I'll tell you, you wanna start healing your brain. They're talking about the symptoms of this is ADD, ADHD, depression, anxiety, all self-induced due to what you think about, you bring about. So if we can learn today, starting at, yep, right now, that the rest of the day matters. Be careful what you focus on. Maybe turn CNN on mute or off at all. You know, it's funny, television, we nicknamed it Hellavision. But I'm telling you, this matters. And it's not what your parents had. It's not what their parents had. You are in control of this, your brain. It's going to tie into how I preach today because I'm going to talk about some soil and how to change that soil. But it comes down to this is so important as a church. And as your pastor and a shepherd, like, we can make changes starting today. I can't follow you all around and be like, oh, nope, snap, hey, we're not police. But the Holy Spirit can nudge you and tell you when you're going down the stinking thinking that is putting holes in your brain that doesn't need to be there. And I want to encourage you that it doesn't matter how messed up your brain is today, it can start healing tomorrow. And it's not about old age. It's about what you do to it, put in it, and through it. And so I think it's super important for the rest of this message just to know that foundation. So what happened was I was having this revelation about what I was going to preach on, actually. Over the last couple weeks, I come to men's prayer. You know, we almost have 100 dudes there. And I know ladies' prayer is on Thursdays. Men's is on Tuesday, 5:30. Doesn't mean you have to come at 5:30. Show up at 6. Show up at 6:15, 6:30, 6:45, 6:55. We leave at 7. But one drop of heaven can change your life. And I'm telling you, the things that I was thinking about was, why do I hear these statements? My life was a mess. Now it's a message. I went through a test. Now I have a testimony. I was a victim. Now I'm victorious. I went through trials. Now I'm triumphant. Every Tuesday, I hear God's stories. And see, it's important to know that if it's good enough for them, it could be good enough for you. If it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. If one person got healed, why can't everybody get healed? And the Holy Spirit says they can, they will, they should. I said, okay, then why do some Christians, because let's start with the same playing field. We all said the sinner's prayer, and we said, Jesus, come in my heart. That's a good start. We'll get there if you haven't done that yet, because you're not sure. You're checking us out. I get it. But what I tell you is, let's just come with the even playing field. We all know Jesus. Now let's say, why are some Christians flourishing and some are struggling? And the Holy Spirit said, oh, good, I'm about to show you. It's because they haven't tended their own soil. And I said, okay, I don't even know what that means, but thank you. But I kept seeing the ones of the guys that come in, they start having God stories. And they're sharing, and they're seeing the miraculous. They're seeing stuff shift in their life. It wasn't just because they knew how to pray. Right. But I started watching them, and over the last couple weeks, I was like, man, I want every one of these men to flourish like some of these men that I've been seeing. Yeah. And God says, it's for everyone that believes in me. So it started working me over. And then the penny dropped. I'm in Australia. I'm in at a presence conference. I'm in presence. My wife sent me a cute little tithe message that she did last week, and it was on Matthew 13. And clear as day, I heard God say, that's exactly it. I said, what? This is what I've been trying to tell you. And I said, okay. So I started going in and reading the scripture, and I want to read it for you, but when God said to me, I made you a farmer. Now multiply. Now teach your men and your women of your house that I made them a farmer as well. I had no idea what he's still talking about. So here's the parable of the sower, not the devil. Matthew 13, 1 through 9. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and a great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood there on the shore. That was his pulpit, was that boat. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, meaning they had seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and some birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they were withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang them up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know what's amazing is we live in the world with the Grant Cardones and the Gary Vee, and he wrote a book called Crush It. You know what that's about? He's like, come on, let's 10X our life, which I thought was pretty cool until I read this. Right. See, if you're with JC, that's Jesus. He says, I can give you 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. 10X is so old school. So we're not a 10X church. I just need to let you know. Listen, if you're being coached right now by Grant Cardone, fine. Fine. Just let him know he needs to up his game. So we're going to go right here, 160, 30-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So make sure you're picking up what I'm putting down, okay? So what's the meaning of this whole thing? Let me break it down. I want to read you. That was the New King James Version. Let me give you the meaning of the harvest story. Study the story of the farmer planting seed. When anyone hears news of the kingdom and doesn't take it in, it just remains on the surface. And so the evil one, the devil, comes along and plucks it right out of that person's heart. This is why the seed the farmer scatters on the road. The seed cast on the gravel, this is the second one. This is the person who hears and instantly responds with enthusiasm. Man, they're hyped. But there is no soil of character, and so when the emotions wear off and some of the difficulty arrives in life, there is nothing to show for it. Next one is the seed cast in the weeds is the person who hears the kingdom news, but then the weeds of worry and illusion about getting more and wanting everything under the sun strangle what was heard, and nothing comes of it. Then there's the seed that's cast on good ground. This is the person who hears and takes in the news and then produces a harvest beyond his or her wildest dreams. See, I grew up and I heard this being preached by my pastor years ago. And he said it was a heart condition. So being in the science world, I said, oh man, too bad for those people. You know, you're lucky. Luck of the draw, one of the four. Some people got heart disease, some people don't. But see, what the Holy Spirit was showing me this last week, No. This is a soil condition, and I'm teaching you how to be a farmer. Then it went into a deeper revelation. I was like, okay, what more? Now, you want to hear where it gets freaky? You don't really want to hear where it gets freaky. So I'm having this whole revelation. The Holy Spirit's talking to me. My wife's sending me videos on the same message. He's been talking to me about soil for weeks. And then my phone, I drop it, I pick it up, I set it down. I'm in my hotel room, and this video plays.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon and then painting from tractor back put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. So God made a farmer. It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners. Somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk. Somebody who'd bale a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing. Who would laugh, and then sigh, and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer.
Come on. So if you don't think I was tripped out at that point, that I needed him to find a video to let me know I need to preach on being a farmer, I quickly humbled myself because I wasn't searching for that video. And it's amazing. There got to be a touch on that video because the ACLU spent over $400,000 trying to get that not to play at Super Bowl. Like, did that offend anybody? Like, how offensive is that? So God made a farmer. I'm totally offended. Take it off the Super Bowl. But it's amazing because there is a touch on it. And I believe that that message is so true. And I'm gonna show you why and what my revelation was in this. You know, I hear Pastor Juergen say it all the time. I'm looking for fruit. Yeah. A lot of people have theology. Not a lot of people have fruit in their life. What's that mean? Listen, if you're going to come to this church, you're checking it out, you're not really sure, just check out the fruit. Yeah. Come to prayer. Yeah. Go to Grow class. Yeah, we teach a Grow class on financial abundance. You know why? We want you to prosper. Yeah. We want you to be blessed to be a blessing. That shouldn't offend you. That doesn't mean you keep it for yourself. That means you're going to operate out of an overflow. Listen, if you make a million, you don't have to keep it. Stay on your same salary. but you can sure give away a lot way and bless a lot more people. And it's amazing that was such a different language. So we are going to have people teach from that perspective that have fruit in their life that maybe come in one way and walking out another way. We don't want your circumstance to dictate the joy in your life. Let's just change the circumstance. So how do we do that? You know, there's two things that be aware of the fruitfulness, you know, really in the Word of God. It shows two things. Receptibility, meaning I am listening. Second one is teachability. I am applying. If you're listening and applying what the good word says, I promise you're going to have great fruit. It's not even my promise. It's His promise. It's God's promise. And I think it's so hard for, I don't know what it is, the environment that we've been in, that we were raised in, or where we've been for a while. Coming in here is such a different soil, a different environment. You're like, how do people, why are they all happy all the time? Is this fake? No, it's not a cult. We have a genuine, authentic joy of the Lord. And when you're around long enough, you start to realize. Trust me, I was sniffing Pastor Juergen out for like 6 years. Finally, I gave in. I'm like, nope, he's the real deal. Every 3 months, I'm like, this got to be impossible. He just has no trials in his life, all sunshine. So my revelation in the New Testament was this. The New Testament explains that the life of a believer in Jesus is presented as progressive, an upward and ever-increasing journey. If your life is stuck, then I'm going to ask you to check the soil that it's stuck in. And we're going to get into that in a minute. In 1 Timothy 4, 15 and 16, I love this, the Message version. Cultivate these things. Immerse yourself in them. The people will all see you mature right before their eyes. Keep a firm grasp on both your character and your teaching. Don't be diverted. Just keep at it. Both you and those who hear you will experience salvation. So my revelation while I was away is the journey to fruitfulness starts with good soil. So why was God prompting me to be a farmer? He was telling me that there is no level that I can't keep making my soil better. The bigger I give in the word, the more I'm around people, the more that I'm pressing in and listening to the Holy Spirit. So he gave me really three things that I want to share with you today on how we can change and tend our soil. Here's what he was also telling me, that the good ground has encountered every condition or wayside, rocks and weeds in its journey to become good soil. So God was showing me and giving me revelation on my life. I always didn't have good soil. Matter of fact, I went through some rocky times. I went through some weak sauce times. I went through people prophesied over me, but I totally ignored it. All because my soil, I was not tending it. And then God said, you know, it was actually your responsibility as a parent to tend your kids. I have a little 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and hopefully soon another one. Not really saying. What? What? I didn't say anything. But what I'm saying is, it's my responsible. It's your responsibility to tend your kids' soil. The Heavenly Father showed me, see, that in the Jewish tradition, when kids were 13, they get a bat mitzvah or a bar mitzvah. And I was like, oh, let's go. And he goes, no, that's when they handed the plow over. That's when the parents handed the shovel over. I said, really? And as a parent, it's been our responsibility to teach my little girl, my little boy, how to tend their own soil, how to be kind, how to be generous, how to be prosperous, how to press in for the Holy Spirit. I need to equip my little ones with everything God has been revealing to me now, and yet some of us maybe didn't have that. Maybe some of us weren't fortunate to have parents that were believers, that maybe were believers, but they weren't tapped into what the Holy Spirit was trying to tell them. And so we started off defaulting that we didn't have the soil that we want to do life the way we want right now. But it's never too late. What I love about this, because then I went in and did a serious study on what makes good soil. So I'm like, well, come on, how long does it take? I need to know this. Anybody else need to know? I mean, if we're going to reap a harvest with good fruit, how long can it take? Well, this is good. Good ground is the result of constant plowing, tilling, weeding, and caring for the ground. In most instances, it takes years for a farmer to produce good ground. And so it is with us. Left our own devices to create topsoil on its own. Do you know if we did nothing to the topsoil in the earth in order to get 1 inch of good topsoil, the earth by itself can generate 1 inch in 500 years. 500 years. I'm no Abraham. I'm not sticking around that long. But there are things that we can do. So then God revealed to me, see, we first come to Christ. We are responding as sinners. And then when we get that veil taken off, listening to the Great Commission, we're saved by grace. We're forgiven. We now are tapped into hearing Jesus' voice. So then we begin to trust Jesus, and then like a diligent farmer, we start tilling our own hearts because God is now prompting us. He's leading us. He's our true north. So as our heart starts to get, we get in line with obedience, the faster that tilling starts to happen. So I love this. I love it. In the Philippines, there's a verse. It's called Philippians 2:12-13. I love the title. It says light bearers. We're called to be light bearers. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more so in my absence, work out with your own salvation with fear and trembling. So, I mean, take it serious. For it is God who works in you both to his will and to do for his good pleasure. You know, these are the interesting facts. You know the fastest vegetable, how long it takes to grow? Well, first of all, it's a radish. I mean, I know you guys are dying to grow some radishes in your backyard. I was just thinking to myself, why haven't you grown some radishes? I mean, I love those to throw at cars. But takes 30 days. The fastest growing fruit, strawberry. Just trying to give you some good nuggets here. I'm no vegetable or strawberry, and it doesn't have to take 30 days to show fruit in our own life. The Holy Spirit can get a hold of us and start to manifest fruit in our life immediately. It can almost start with a kind word towards your spouse. Like, what happened to my husband? What happened to my wife? It could be anything in a moment once the Holy Spirit starts to work in us and through us. But I love it. So I Googled how to improve soil. Top two things. You ready? Rototill in well-rotten manure. So let me break that down. In the Message version, that means, does anyone have crap in their life? Anybody? Okay, you're already one way closer to good soil. Okay. And then it said, number two, add in leaves, wood chips, hay, and straw. What's that mean in the Message version? Does anyone have any unnecessary baggage in their life? Any stuff? Just me. Okay. Well, if you have those two things, you already have the ingredients for incredible soil. But there are three things the Word of God says on how to expedient this soil into softening it. Otherwise, it could be the wayside. It could have the weeds in it. It could fall on dark soil or hard soil where the devil's going to come in and take that seed. But there's three things. I mean, this is like Forrest Gump teaching for like how to get good fruit in your life. So it's if I can understand it, this is even easier right here. But number one, equipping you, the farmers, on how to tend for your own success. That's the why behind it. God isn't telling us these three things just so we can still meek along, limp along. He wants us to walk in the overflow of success and prosperous in the good life, but he needs us to have good soil. And here's the three keys to get good soil. Are you ready? Yes. Number one, obedience and faith. What does that even mean? It means read his word, know his voice. See, I grew up knowing my dad's voice, obviously, but I didn't listen to it. How many know when your dad says, don't pee on the electric fence? Don't pee on the electric fence. If you have an electrician in here, then you know what happened next. I have a fear of the Lord and electric fences. That's the only thing I can find so far that is not in the Word of God. So far. That's just me helping you out. Second one is pray. Be in His Word to know your Father's voice. So he can equip you. Number two is pray. I didn't know how to pray before I came to this church. I could barely lead silent prayer. But when my friend needed me, I folded like a deck chair, but thank goodness I knew people. I knew people because I was in the house of God. So that is, you know, make sure you're in the house, which comes to my next point, but I don't want to skip this point. Listen, if you're a beginner, you're a newbie Christian, you're like, dude, I just gave my life to Jesus last week. I'm back for the second time. I'm offended by your fat joke, but just come back tonight. We'll have a 3x10. It's going to be amazing. But I want you to read the book if you're brand new to this thing called Following Jesus. It's the next steps. It's going to give you the basic 101, just like, hey, what is this thing all about? Because I do want to be prosperous. I do want to be successful. I want to set myself up best for the future. Read that book. Now, there's only two categories left. One, you've been a Christian, but you're not spirit-filled. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But since you're there, let's just read these two books. One is Push by my senior pastor, Pastor Juergen. Means pray until something happens. It's a great book. The second book is My Friend, the Holy Spirit. If you're going to equip yourself, which I'm going to be on my point three here in a minute, I want you to know that book will help you get over the line. Those are two things. Now, if you're a Christian that is Spirit-filled, but you're not seeing the fruit that you desire, two books, God's Generals and The Fourth Dimension. Why do those two books? Because they're going to inspire you of men and women of faith that have done radical things that are going to take your faith to the next level. So we always need to be inspired. The minute we lose inspiration to inspire, the minute we plateau in our life. Because there is no way you should be plateauing if you're in the Word and hearing His voice. So that was number one, obedience and faith. Number two, environment matters. Where do orange trees grow? Florida and California. Thank you. She's from Russia and she knows that. Wow. Wow. Yep. Good job, Pastor Andrew. If I took that same orange seed and I put it in Ohio, is there going to be fruit coming off that tree? A tree might grow, but will there be an orange tree with orange fruit coming out of Ohio? No, does anything grow in Ohio? No, just joking. Sorry. But environment matters. You could have a perfect seed, even put it in good soil. Environment matters. What's that mean in reality? Go to church, sometimes twice. There's different messages always at the 5 p.m. because we want you to soak in one and serve in one. Pathways, grow, serve, lead. Why do we have the pathways? They're not because we're bored and we have nothing else to do. They're to equip the saints. That's why we have the pathways. There's a formula. We stole it out of the Word. What did Jesus do? He equipped His disciples, and then He sent them immediately back out to serve. That's what we're doing. It's not a crazy formula. We just apply what works. That's why we have good fruit that comes out. So get connected in that pathway wheel. That's why we have connect groups. That's why we have prayer. As many things that we can get you in the environment with the sun and the water and the perfect temperature for you to grow the trees, to grow the fruit that you need, then you can be that blessing. Some of you may not need all that right now, but some of you, like myself, I needed all I could get. If Pastor Juergen invited me over Monday through Saturday, I would have been there. I did semi-stock him, so I got 4 days a week, but I don't recommend that. Number three, filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? To glorify Christ and to empower you. Let me read this, John 16, 13 through 15. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not seek on His own authority, but whoever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come, and He will glorify Me, for He will take care of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Let me read in the Message version so you understand it a little bit differently. John 16, 13, 15 in the Message. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But when the Friend comes, the Spirit of truth, He will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to Himself, but He will make sense out of what is about to happen. And indeed, out of all that I have done and said, He will honor Me. He will take from Me and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is also Mine. That is why I've said, He takes from Me and delivers to you. See, the Holy Spirit is like the secret weapon in Christianity. It's the most important thing you and I could ask for. What's amazing is, you know what the great debate is? How did I grow up a Christian for 30 years and no one ever explained to me? Because the revelation of that theology is when I prayed the prayer, the sinner's prayer, to ask Jesus in my heart, the assumption was that the Holy Spirit came with it. I'm not arguing that. I'm not splitting hairs over that. But the Bible does say to ask, to activate the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can walk in power, we can walk in gifts. And I think that is what's so important. And I got to boldly tell this church that we are going to ask. We are going to walk in gifts. we are going to walk in a power ministry. We are going to have the expectation for the book of miracles. That people put in prayer requests and miracles come out. The miracles are for today. We're not going to back down. We're not going to shy away. We're not a dead church. I'm not reading about a God that was. I'm reading about a God that is. So why the Holy Spirit? It's just a couple things. Number one, empowered believers. Philippians 2:13 in the message. What I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've done from the beginning. When I was living among you, you lived in a responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. You know what Jesus is saying? Double down on me. Double down on your Holy Spirit. Watch what happens. You're going to do even greater things, the word says. Be energetic in your life of salvation. Be reverent and sensitive before God. The energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you. God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. So how do we do this? Well, you're going to receive power. Maybe you already have. Some of you already walk in that power. You just get re-dipped in it. Light that fire. In Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And by the way, just to help you out, we're at the end of the earth. You don't have to go to Judea to get this. It's right here, right now. You know, as we go into this, there's three things that I realize that the Holy Spirit moves in power. Power of his holiness, which means he purifies, cleanses you, and reveals truth. Power of his creativity. See, when we accept Jesus, we changed instantly with salvation. Means for eternity, like that, we go to heaven. You got hit by a truck, you're going to heaven. In a moment, you have eternal life. You're a new creation. But with the power of his creativity, the Holy Spirit changes us progressively day by day. You're going to see things differently. You could have dropped F-bombs last week. It's true. One of my close friends came to this church, afterwards went up, hugged Pastor Jurgen, said that was the best bleep, bleep, bleep message he's ever heard. I'm standing next to him like this. Pastor Jurgen, you know what he did? Gave him the biggest hug, loved him, says we'll see you next week. Next week he came back. Maybe there was only one bleep. 6 weeks later, you know what my friend said? Dude, I can't believe 6 weeks ago I was dropping F-bombs and Pastor Jurgen, I'm such an idiot. You know who got the revelation of truth? The Holy Spirit. No pastor, no judgment, no bullhorn, no going to hell. That doesn't change people. The Holy Spirit changes people. In 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we did not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. He gives us renewal and restoration. The last one, the power of his endowment. We are empowered and equipped, set up for success, victory, our best life. There's so many scriptures on it I could go. The one thing that you gotta understand is salvation is the most important thing. You got to know Jesus. So if you don't know Jesus, it's a simple thing. It's just understanding and confessing with your mouth and your heart, knowing that, hey, I don't know what your book says yet, but I want to know. Giving your life to Christ is the number one most important thing. That's called eternal life. The second thing is being infused and infilled with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to have a team up here after this service. If you've never given your life to Jesus, we want to resource you with the Bible and a book called Following Jesus. We want to pray with you. All it is a simple prayer saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to know you. I believe in faith what your word says. I want to receive it. I want to live that victorious life in eternity with you forever. I want to be a child of God. That's it. It's a 1 minute prayer. But if you believe it, if you receive it, you will have it. The next thing is the Holy Spirit, and that's why I want to make sure I equip the saints. In Luke 11:11-13, it says this: if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, unforgiven, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? 1 Corinthians 14:14. For when I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. As you speak the word by faith, you're releasing God's power from within and building yourself up in the spirit. Why do we believe in speaking in tongues? Don't let theology get in the way for this. Theology messed me up for 30 years. I went to a Christian college. I grew up in a Christian home. My grandpa's a pastor. My uncle's a pastor. My grandpa on his deathbed said, son, I see the fruit in your life. Stay in that church. Don't let this old man's theology get you messed up in any way. He pretty much just said, I know what you're doing, and I bless you, because I've seen power for the first time in my life. I've seen healings. I'm believing that I can see someone raised from the dead. Does that freak you out? Well, it freaks me out too, but I'm gonna see it because I can believe for it. That's what this church is going after, is the miraculous, is spirit-filled. And I want you to be able to walk in that same thing. It's for everybody. We just don't want to get our head knowledge in the way of letting the heart get touched with truth from the Holy Spirit. So whether you speak it now or later or feel something or feel nothing, it does not matter. If you believe in your heart that you received the Holy Spirit, and God promises that you did, and if God says it, that settles it. Don't let anyone talk you out of what you know in your heart to be true. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. God always honors his word, so believe it and trust him. It's the biggest thing I find in Christianity is we lost trust somewhere, but we got to trust him again. We're going to operate full throttle. I don't want some of the gifts, I want all the gifts. It's for every one of us today. So I want, if we could just all stand to our feet. I want to be a church, because listen, where we're going, how many know that there's a city that needs us? How many know there's a state that needs us? The state of California, just so you know, I'm not speaking death, I'm speaking life, but we're off the rails right now in Sacramento. There's some stuff going down. There's some stuff going down right now in Sacramento that is trying to ban churches from speaking truth. This isn't like the old thing, we're taking the Bible out of school. No, no, no. They don't want us to preach the gospel in the state of California. We're too offensive. And what's going to happen is just like the gas tax that got passed. We're all crying about it after the fact because no one stood up and did anything about it. I'm not going to be the church that backs down. Am I preaching politics from the pulpit? Kind of. I'm just saying step up. That's all I'm saying. I'm not telling you how to vote. I'm just saying do something. But I want us to all to pray this out loud because it's so important that we all go to the next level in our life with great fruit, with great success, with full power access to the Holy Spirit, to get in the Word, to hear His voice. Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're gonna read the Word of God and it's logos. That's what the Bible said. But the Holy Spirit in your life, you'll read the Word of God and it comes alive. And that's rhema. We all need a fresh rhema word. I didn't wanna come back to Australia and talk about, no. I'm equipping the saints. That we're gonna go out and we're gonna believe for big miracles over our life, over our own life first. If you can't believe for yourself, why would someone else say, pray for me? Believe victory for yourself in every area. Let's pray this out loud. Father, I recognize my need for your power to live this new life. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit now. By faith, I receive them right now based on your promise. Thank you for baptizing me. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my life. Amen. What I'm gonna do, I'm gonna pray for you. I'm going to pray for you that we can encounter the Holy Spirit right now in a new way, fresh, real, and powerful. I'm going to ask the ministry team to come up here. I don't want you to walk out the same way that you walked in this building. If you need a miracle for anything, you need breakthrough for anything, you just want to get rid of stinking thinking, you want your brain healed, you want possibilities to be endless in your life, I want you to come down and get prayed for. As I pray, I'm going to release an impartation to walk in power. I've been 30 years a Christian in my one life, meaning before I came to this church, and then I got filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized, walking in power. And I've seen fruit and blessing and multiplication. I've seen my friends that I grew up in the Christian home with come to this house and flourish. And if it's good enough for me, it's good enough for anybody. You don't need a pastor to pray for you. You need you to pray for you with Holy Spirit conviction and power. You might not need a healing. You might not be able to get in touch with the pastor. Then you go. You're being empowered right now. So Holy Spirit, God, I thank you today that you're equipping your house. You're equipping your church, your sons and daughters. So God, I thank you, Lord, that they can walk in fresh revelation today, that they can dream again, that they can have visions for their future. God, heal up what needs to be healed on their heart, God. We ask that you soften the soil in this house that needs to be softened, Lord. Lord, that you can seed what's already there and ripe and ready, God, that they can flourish in fruitfulness. God, I thank you for a fresh power. God, that they can pray for those people that are lost, that they can find their way to your house, Lord. So God, we thank you right now for your blessing, that we can walk with your Holy Spirit truth like a GPS to true north, God. Show us the way, stir our hearts, God. Motivate us to hear from you, learn from you, be more like you, God. We want to be the true meaning of what a Christian looks like, to be the light of the world, to inspire others that are lost to find their way home for eternal life. So we give you honor today. We come to this altar, God. Fill us afresh with fresh oil. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.